Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
Welcome to Weekly Jump, presented as part of the Geekly Grind Podcast Network.
This is our weekly episode reviewing first impressions of newer anime and manga titles.
Let's jump in.
All right, so we are here with another special episode with a special guest. And if you can go ahead and introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Hey, listeners, I am Mitsugi. I'm from the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. I'm probably the most ancient podcaster for anime that currently still exists in this world. We are about 11 years deep, and I feel every bit of it in my bones, but I am happy to be here with you guys. Blake and Spencer, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
It's an honor.
Yeah. I was just on y'all's show just the past weekend ago, where I played Shonen Battle, so it was fun stuff.
Okay, I have to ask you an honest question.
I'm ready.
Were my fellow anime addicts nice to you? Because we're gonna have to, you know, lay down some lessons if they weren't nice. So
yeah, it was a good time, and it was just a unexpected anime that I had to watch. Of like what I compared it to was it's as if like the. It's as if like the girl from like the anime listening. I don't know what she's called. Blake,
do you remember what girl?
The lo-fi girl had turned to life and then walked out and turned into an anime. That's the show that I got to watch as part of being on that episode, which was Yuru Camp, which is just like, it's an anime as if maybe a big scarf came to life and turned into an anime.
A big scarf.
It's true that I wasn't on that episode. I may or may not have strategically missed that episode to avoid having to watch what I can only imagine was cute girls doing cute things. But listen, I have to thank you for taking the heat on that. It was like you did me a real service. So I appreciate it. Not totally in my wheelhouse, but I think people like it. Was it good?
Yeah, it was. I compared it to if you wanted an anime that had no stakes, it is perfect for you.
Exactly. No one's gonna. I'm sure there probably wasn't even any. Are they mountain climbing in that show?
They're really just like going out and camping. And then there you expect it to be more intense, like something to happen around every corner. I think I've been like, you know, gaslit so many times by so many television shows in the United States that I'm just like expecting around the corner, like somebody to get hit by a car. But then the episode ends and it's just like, and everybody was fine. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, God, we just watched Jobless Reincarnation and did that review, so that's a perfect example of that. It's like I check both directions at least three times when I cross the street because truck coon he's everywhere.
Yeah, you don't want to get hit by a vehicle and then wind up in an anime universe.
Yeah, well, instead of that, we have something completely different that was the suggestion this time around, which was our first Dragon Ball Z anime coverage ever on the show.
Really
amazing.
Yeah,
I didn't even think
that's
about
amazing.
That.
What do you guys, like 119 episodes in now or something?
Oh, we're well past that. We're at 240, 159 240. Regularly numbered episodes, but our Monday pods are not numbered that way, nor special episodes and interviews and stuff like that.
And you never did a Dragon Ball podcast.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We did cover the first few chapters of the Dragon Ball Full Color Frieza arc. So we have covered the manga.
But
we've never covered Z, the anime.
Yeah. So
well, you know, it's just time.
Yeah,
we talk about it a lot. It comes up a lot because, you know, we're an almost entirely shonen centric podcast, and you can't really talk about shonen as a medium without referencing Dragon Ball periodically.
So before we talk about Dragon Ball, I have to ask the most pertinent, pressing question of our lifetimes. And that is, where do we stand on Demon Slayer? Is it the greatest thing that's ever happened in our world, or is it just a normal shonen show that caught fire for some reason?
Let me take this one first, because I am not caught up on Demon Slayer. I've watched maybe 12 episodes or so, and I really enjoy it. I watched about half of those, more than half of those in one sitting, which longtime listeners will know is very, very out of character for me. But I liked it so much that I watched it a lot, and then I sort of molded it into my regular rotation. So I pick at things very, very, very slowly, and I'm really enjoying it, but I haven't watched it. I haven't caught up with it by a large margin. I think it's very good. At that point in the show, I am mystified about the degree of its popularity. I would be surprised if it weren't popular, but the amount of popularity that it has, like to be able to sell better than One Piece for a few months, doesn't make sense to me, despite how good it is, just because of what One Piece is. And, you know, how people respond to things that they know and like already. And, you know, One Piece is generally very highly regarded. So it's just, it is an enigma to me, despite having the quality to, I think it has enough quality to have earned its place, even if I haven't seen all of that quality. But the place that it's earned still is confusing to me.
Hmm. All right.
Are you both in agreement?
So here's where I sit on Demon Slayer. As somebody who watched the anime, got caught all the way up, and then I was just like, okay, I hear tell that the manga is just done, so I'm just gonna read all the way through the manga. I get why the manga is considered to be just the highest quality of shonen right now. It checks a whole lot of boxes, and especially like when it gets to the point where you're meeting the ultra powerful people that are in like the top of the Demon Slayer Corps, you're like, oh, these are like the captain level of demon slayers, and you're just like, okay, so then they're gonna fight against the most powerful of the demons, and they're all gonna have weird powers, and it's gonna be great and fantastic. I think it is worth being in there as like one of the best shonen that is out now. As should it be regarded as like the best shonen of all time? No. It's fine in comparison if you're going to put them all at their height compared next to each other. But I think it gets to hold its place of where it is right now, because I think a lot of the shows that were really like breaking like down boundaries and breaking down doors are like past their prime, or they're finished with their seasons, or we have like the final frustrating thing right now, which is that after a fantastic first season of some of the shows, they come back like with One Punch Man with season two, and season two is just way worse animated than season one, that you're just like, okay, I guess every show is going to fall off in its quality if it gets another season. And Demon Slayer, instead of doing that, just like had super high quality and then came out right with a movie that was also super high quality.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. You know, the strong will fight the strong. Tanjiro will cry every 3 minutes. Zenitsu will sleep every 3 minutes. Nezuko will look cute and sell all of the manga, I imagine. And Inosuke will just scream and pound his head into like trees and things.
Yeah.
So, well, but, I did see the movie in theaters, and it was, I'll tell you, the end of the movie was really awesome. So I'll leave it at that, but I thought the ending was good.
So I haven't seen the movie, and of course I'm not caught up, so I don't know what, you know. I do know that the movie is canon, which is very atypical. Mm-hmm. And I know basically nothing about the canon of the movie, except that there's a train. And so I am curious.
There is.
I'm curious about your response, one, to the decision to make canon part of the story into a movie instead of contained within the show itself, and two, how the movie handled it. Like, does it work? Does making that arc into a movie work? regardless of whether or not you think it's a good idea to do it. So sort of two separate things. Is it, what are your thoughts on making a canon movie in a medium that is used to not having required viewing as its movies? And does that work in this instance with that arc, you know, without spoiling it as a film?
I mean,
or did it need the episode lengths that it did not have?
It's not really my preference, because I think that some people just don't go to the movie theater, as they especially don't go to the movie theater at this exact moment in time, or at least they weren't, you know, when Demon Slayer was coming, was in American theaters. So it's not really my preference to have to go out and, you know, throw down $15 or whatever it was for yourself on top of your subscription to Verve or whatever you're paying for. But, you know, as I'm looking at this at the top manga sales list from 2020, you know, Demon Slayer sold 82 million mangas in 2020, and the second place was Kingdom, and it only sold 8 million. So, you know, it's just insane. So you're talking about, I actually think Demon Slayer outsold all the other top 10 combined by like a pretty healthy margin.
Wild.
But
that doesn't make sense to me in a world with One Piece, but
it's crazy. One Piece was third, but you know, I mean, so I understand why they did it. You know, I think that the visual feast that UFO table can lay down for the audience is totally suitable for theaters. And I thought that it looked good in theaters. And you know, the movie, they were right to try to catch lightning in a bottle, because you know, Spirited Away is no longer the highest selling film in Japan, you know, anymore. And you know, they made a ton of money off of it. So, you know, I think it worked pretty well. To me, the movie felt like, you know, as is probably evident by, you know, it being, you know, canon, it just felt like four episodes of the anime, pretty much, I think. And
somebody compared it to online the Family Guy movie, where they were just like, they were like, it's great that it's out in theaters, but when is it gonna come on my normal television in four episodes?
Yeah, you know, interestingly,
you know,
I haven't brought up Digimon in a while, and Digimon did this pretty recently with Try, where the Digimon Try was a series of movies, but then each movie came out broken up into episodes of, you know, normal episode length. And so it's like six movies turned into 24 episodes or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my, like I said, it's not my preference. I thought the first villain in the movie was kind of lame, and the second villain was awesome. And I thought that, you know, that second villain bringing him to sort of the grandiose state of the movie theater, it was very fitting. So, you know, I don't think anybody's complaining. You know, I think it went off pretty well.
So
from what I can tell, fans of the anime loved the movie. So, you know, it's all good, I guess.
So you enjoyed it as a movie, but if they'd asked you, you would have not done it as a movie. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I thought the movie was like the tale of two halves. I thought the first half of the movie was very like average, and then I thought the second half of the movie was, you know, made up for a lot of what the first half was,
okay,
for me at least, you know. And but that's me being, you know, a super jaded, you know, anime fan who's, you know, been around the block and is hard to get excited, etc. etc. So except for Dragon Ball, which, you know, we'll get to that, but I did go to business school, and honestly, I would say that financially they did the right thing putting it in theaters. So I can't fault them, and I don't see any reason why this needed to be, you know, just a four more episodes of a TV series. It made sense to catch fire, you know, in the theater. So
yeah, I wonder if
why not?
It's kind of one of those things where if you're thinking about it from like a money making perspective, you get to like double dip. Where it's just like you get to make all the money off of this as a movie, and then when you release it as a show, you just get to make the commercial money off of it as well. So all those people that didn't see it in theaters, you can just make additional money off of it commercially. So it's like, yeah, definitely a double dip situation.
Sure.
Although, but to be clear, I don't think there has been any news or confirmation that they will be splitting it into episodes. We're just positive.
We're just assuming
something that happens.
Okay. Well, contrary to this entire conversation about Demon Slayer, we're here to talk about Dragon Ball, and specifically the movie, this movie being one in a long series of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z movies. This one is called Resurrection F, which I guess I don't know if it had another name other than that, but
Fart.
Resurrection Fart. This movie started out in a way that I was just like, I was like, I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure that Frieza is not strong enough to fight inside of a Dragon Ball Super universe.
Right.
And what you tune into for this movie is basically like Frieza being like led into being the most powerful character in the universe because he was just like, I'm going to go lift weights and do the Saitama workout plan for like 4 months.
I drank whey protein.
He's like going to start lifting. And he's like that guy who's been lifting for a week. And he's just like, look how strong I am now.
My veins. Look how vascular I am.
This is the 19th movie. And it is not a Dragon Ball Super movie, which confused me when I tried to look it up on IMDb because I could not find it because it's a Dragon Ball Z movie. It's actually the last Dragon Ball Z movie, number 19, which I think also includes the first couple that were Dragon Ball. And then the next one after this is the first Dragon Ball Super movie, currently the only one, which was the Broly movie that came out in theaters a year ago, 2 years ago.
That's bizarre.
Well, not a year ago because that was pandemic times. But if you're considering that a gap year, I think it was in 19.
Yeah. Well, I share in your confusion about that because, you know, the Battle of the Gods movie, which... Boy, that came out. It seems like just yesterday, but I know it's been like 5 years or 6 years.
Yeah, it came out in 2013.
Yeah, 13 okay, in Japan, so it's been 14 8 years. In America.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to be dead any day now. time just goes. I don't have much time left. Time just goes by so fast. That movie's actually the beginning of the Dragon Ball Super series. So the fact that that's not a Dragon Ball Super movie just totally perplexes me because they're literally the same. It's like cut for cut the first three episodes of the TV show or whatever, so that's a little baffling.
Yeah, I've actually never seen Dragon Ball Super, so I was not aware of that, but I am aware that the blue hair power-up that they use in this movie is a Dragon Ball Super thing, and they use it as something that's clearly been established previously. Like, this is not them discovering it for the first time. You know, like, sometimes anime movies, they'll be like, the thing that they discovered in the show, this is them discovering it in a different way, and don't ask questions. This is not that. They very clearly know how to do it already. Like, clearly, Dragon Ball Super's been happening, but this is just Dragon Ball Z for because.
Yeah.
So- wow, maybe I picked the wrong movie. The Broly movie is very highly rated on my anime list.
I actually saw that in theaters. It's pretty decent.
Well, we're here to talk about Resurrection F, so...
fuck yes, we are.
All right, so we're going to start out with meeting our good friend Frieza, who has been straight-up cocoonified inside of the world of big stuffed animals and fairies. Underneath a weird river that's like big giant dragons that are just like eating fish under the river... I guess this is Earth's hell. They talk about this a couple of times where like Frieza's like, if I destroy Earth, that hell that I was in is going to be destroyed too. And I was just like, that's what our hell is like.
I kind of took it as like, this has to be the way. This has to be what was intended because Frieza is such an evil, just an evil SOB. Is this like he has to be put in a hell where things are just too happy and cute because that would be truly what would be the most awful thing to him? And I think he expresses that later in the film that he just can't handle it.
Yeah, I almost got the impression that he was put in Earth's heaven because he would hate it more.
The irony.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's trapped inside of like a straight up butterfly cocoon at the beginning of this too. It's just, it's ridiculous. Then we cut to the ridiculously named sorbet. I know it's like pronounced sorbet or something inside of it, but I was just like, that's sorbet.
No, this
did
is.
Did you guys watch the dub of this or the sub?
I watched the sub.
Oh, I watched the dub.
Okay, I watched the dub too, so...
It is pronounced sorbet in the American version.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, after literally having Goku raise me like a father, and I'm not... There's actually, I think, some truth to that, to be honest, but that explains why I'm so messed up. But I just can't watch the sub of Dragon Ball. It's one of those... You always hear the conversation about, like, what shows can you not watch sub? Like, you have to watch the dub because you watched it. Like, this is one of those. I have to watch it.
Is it because the Japanese version, his voice is like, ah!
it really isn't, but the fact that he's voiced by like a woman who's, how old is she? Let me see. Oh, it doesn't have her birthday. Get the hell out of here. She is Masako Nozawa. She has got to be, it has it here. She is, wow. She's 85.
Wow.
Goku's going to die sometime in the next like 10 years and we're all going to be really sad. No, I think she's super cute. You know, I'd serve her tea and you know, have her tell me bedtime stories and shit. But, you know, it's, I have to have the Goku dub. So yeah, it was sorbet.
Yeah. It's
in the dub, but you know, but they're always naming their characters after dumb shit. There's like, they've got characters named after temperatures, food. They've got characters named after just totally inanimate objects. It just doesn't make any sense.
They have characters.
They didn't give a shit.
They have characters that are named after the magic words inside of Cinderella, of Bibbidi Bobbidi and Boo.
Yeah.
Stop, please.
The best is the fact that like the Saiyans and stuff have vegetable naming conventions. This is Dragon Ball is basically VeggieTales. with fighting.
Jesus.
We got carrot,
VeggieTales and VeggieTales Super.
We got radish. Carrot and radish are brothers. Vegetable is their king. It all makes sense.
God.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing that happened apparently. He's been looking around and not doing so well as the leader of Frieza's army. He is just like, you know what I'll do is I'm going to bring Frieza back to life. And because I can't find any of the Namekians in order to figure out how to do this, I'm just going to follow three idiots on Earth who are going to find the Dragon Balls for me. And I'm going to go down there and I'm going to threaten them with my finger gun. Because if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to finger bang bang you into your heart.
This took him so long.
Finger bang me.
Because... When Frieza was killed, Gohan was like a single digit age kid. And now Gohan is a father, right? Like, how much time did he waste trying to find the Namekians before being like, nah, I'll go to the other place with Dragon Balls?
Well, they explain inside of it that he's been too afraid to go to Earth because Saiyans are there. So because Saiyans defeated Frieza, they're like, well, if there's a Saiyan on Earth, we're not going to go there because we'll just die if we go to Earth. And so they're like, we're not going to do it. And so then they were like, okay, maybe we'll go over there. And then Goku was just like, I'm going to defeat Boo. And they were like, we were told that one person that we couldn't mess with was Boo. And if he could defeat Boo, then we're really not going to go there.
I just think Sorbet took a step back and realized what a bunch of pussies the Frieza force had become, and
yeah, they're trash.
It's like, we're totally fucked without Frieza. Like, literally no one's afraid of us now. We are worthless. How can they even be the Frieza force when Frieza and his dad and his brother, like, they're all dead?
Yeah.
They're, it's like, what are you really?
They're really living in the shadow of their former all-star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, they do get all the Dragon Balls together and they return parts of Frieza back to life. We cut into little bits.
This
and
is
then
a
they
fantastic.
Take them in
a- I love this. Also, they do this because Frieza most recently was killed by being blown up by Future Trunks. And so right. he has been turned into, you know, blown up little chunks of himself. And they summon Shenron and they're like, can you bring Frieza back to life? And Shenron is like, I can, but I'll tell you what I can't do. And that is put bodies back together. I know that it seems like that should be reversed, but those are the breaks.
That's such... Man, Shenron's weak as shit because, like, Porunga...
They even had Porunga, a whole other whoever, second like, wish, and he was just like, no, I don't put things together. No puzzles, no building, nothing.
Mm. I don't have good spatial awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, Frieza blows Krillin into a billion pieces, and... Well, no, wait a second. They wish that... We have discovered bullshit because Krillin gets blown into a million pieces by Frieza and gets wished back on Earth. And at that point, the dragon, which I guess might be a different dragon, unsure because of what the hell is the little Namek's name?
Oh, Nail?
Not Nail. I was thinking Nail, but that's not what it is. I'll think of it in a second. But they do wish him back, like after being blown into smithereens. So, you know, I don't know. I think the dragon was just feeling lazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his fucking name.
I like that the three idiots that they're with are like, he has a whole second wish. And instead of getting to wish anything else, they're just like, we want a million zinni. And he's like, okay. And then he gives it to them. And I was expecting a lot of money, but instead it was like a little stack of cash. And they were like, yep. Sweet. And I was
it's
just
so
like,
so good.
Yeah, and he's like, you little assholes. And they're like, it's okay, we're going to go hang out while you do whatever the fuck you're going to do.
Yeah, his name's Dende, by the way. Sorry, Dende.
Yeah, these are the characters from the... They're the first antagonists from the series, like the first ever ones, right?
Oh, yeah, they're like OG of Dragon Ball villains.
Yeah, they're drawn...
Yeah, it's just fan service.
Yeah, they're drawn differently here in a way that made them look younger. It's just a different... It's just the way that the art style has evolved. But it caught me off guard because I was like, this trio is awfully familiar, but not identical to what I was expecting. And I don't know what to think now.
Mm. Yeah, and the billion yenny or whatever it was, zenny or whatever it was, is like this little tiny one stack of cash. And they go and he's like, I'm going to go buy curry. It's like, God damn, Earth is experiencing hyperinflation. Like, we have some big time... It's like, well, a bowl of curry, that'll be 60 million zenny.
They also have this great moment where like they walk away and the one that blurted out the wish was the dog. They're like, why didn't you wish for 1 million instead of, I don't know, 100 million? And then we would have that much more. And the dog is just like, well, you know, money doesn't really bring happiness. The dog was reading that,
no, he
that
said-
article.
No, he says money makes your children turn into little brats.
Oh,
or
yeah,
something.
That's right.
It's what he said.
Like, if we're too rich, our progeny will be horrible. God. So let's just keep it modest.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a dog, bro. Like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah. Okay.
Do you realize you're a fucking dog?
So the Frieza crew puts Frieza back together, and then Frieza, after being put back together, instead of in true getting brought back to life fashion, he's just like, I'm gonna ruin all of you on the ship in thanks for bringing me back to life, and I'm gonna blow open this door, and everybody starts to fly into space, and then they're like, we have a shield for this just in case,
but, except for that one
space
guy.
Gets opened.
Yeah, one person ends up getting lost in space, and they don't mention him again. They're like, nah, we got the shields up, and that's fine. I get it, because Frieza is not really... doesn't take suggestions or constructive criticism very well, but they definitely just let that one guy die when they totally had a don't die from this shield the whole time.
Yeah.
Frieza's... He's just one of the most evil characters you're going to find in anything. I mean, he's just... Yeah, he's psychotic, and I don't know. I honestly love Frieza. I think Frieza is the best Dragon Ball villain, personally. You know, I find Boo to be corny, and I find Cell is a good villain, but I like Frieza the best. I think he had the most build up, and you know, Goku goes Super Saiyan during that fight, but yeah, Frieza's just an asshole.
Yeah. Well, Frieza goes off to train for a couple of months, and it turns out he's going to come back to Earth. But before he comes back to Earth, we have to watch Vegeta and Goku going and training in a dumb training montage. This is the dumbest training montage I've seen in an anime movie in a long time. It's basically them trying to chase around this super powerful being and them not being able to do anything about it. And it's just, like, silly, and it doesn't seem like they're getting any stronger at all. They're just, like, you know, not able to fight him at all. So I didn't watch enough Dragon Ball Super to know who these people really are, but I guess they're, like, all-powerful gods inside of this universe. Is that correct?
Basically, Beerusu is the god of destruction, who is, you know, supposed to be the most powerful being in the universe, and but although I'm sure in short order Goku will surpass him, and Whis is like his caretaker and his trainer, and I guess is like if you recall, there's like the Kais in Dragon Ball,
yeah,
there's like the East Kai and the North Kai. So I feel like Whis is like he's kind of like that, except he's like, you know, equally as high up on the echelon as Beerusu is. So he's kind of like Beerusu's like, you know, he's like friggin' butler, I guess, but he's more powerful than even Beerusu is.
Yeah, that was that was something I did not know about this character. I have technically seen the Battle of the Gods movie. I watched it on TV many years ago, probably in 2014 mm-hmm. when it came out. I think I watched the premiere of it on Cartoon Network. So it's been so long that I really don't remember anything about it except that they introduced Beerus. And I remembered Whis, which is the other guy's name, but I didn't know anything about him except that, you know, clearly he comes as a package deal with Beerus, and Beerus is the big deal. And so you're kind of like, oh, he is the servant guy. And then he just is like completely casually handling Goku and Vegeta all at the same time, not even stressing himself out or breaking a sweat or anything. And then after they train, he's like, sometimes Beerus goes a little hard on his God of Destruction ways, and I have to turn back time real quick. And I was just like, is this God? Like, is this one of those things where, like, sometimes God is a character that seems unassuming and is doing the kind of thing that you might not think God would be doing, but that's God, and just doing a little tricksy.
It's just super silly. I mean, they're basically comic relief in the series. I mean, as I'm sure you saw, all they want to do is eat like pizza. It's like Ninja Turtles or some shit. Well,
they're Ninja Turtles.
it's just goofy. But yeah, you know, I really hated Beerusu at first, but because I'm like a fucking cat. He looks like a sphinx or some shit from Egypt.
He's like even wearing like Egyptian cats, clothes. But he's purple.
But he's grown on me a little bit, so I'm okay with him. I'm used to him.
I liked them. I thought they were pretty charming, and I thought they did an interesting job. I think one of the things that I enjoy the most about Dragon Ball is that it has these like dope ass fights, but then it also has just like this sort of anything goes whimsy to it, and I think they fall into that category, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, this is not going to be enjoyed for too long, because it turns out that Jocko, the Galactic Patrolman, he's going to come back to Earth to tell them just like, hey, Freeze is coming, and we need to be aware of this. But before he can tell anybody anything about that, first he has to talk to Bulma's dad, and Bulma's dad's just like, hey, you want to come see my goldfish? And he's like, fuck yes, I do.
What does that even mean? Is it in your pants?
Well, he's going to tell them that Frieza's a coming, and so they prepare for Frieza. And by prepare for Frieza, I mean that nobody actually changes anything about themselves other than Krillin, who shaves his head.
Because he tells them, and they're like, okay, we got to prepare, you know, we'll start preparing, we'll do all this stuff. How long do we have? And he's like, nah, about an hour.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jocko, right?
Yeah.
Like, is he, I don't even remember him from Dragon Ball.
Isn't he from
all.
GT?
I don't think he's in it.
He must have been from GT.
I also I didn't think GT was like, but I think I recognize
I didn't think that was canon.
Oh, man. I thought Super took the place of GT, but maybe I'm wrong. Because I haven't seen GT, I haven't seen Super, so I don't know. I also haven't seen the end of Dragon Ball Z.
So
anyway, the best part.
By the way, yeah. There is Jocko the Galactic Patrolman is actually a Japanese manga series written and illustrated by Akira Toriyama. A Shonen Jump series that was from July to October in 2013. And yeah. it's like an additional piece of like side canon inside of the Dragon Ball universe. So apparently
this is
a character that was probably like a pet project of Akira Toriyama, and he was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna fucking put him in a movie, and then people are gonna have to look him up because they're gonna be like, who is this asshole?
Oh my god, I'd rather have the girl from Dr. Slump.
I actually thought that Jocko was
her name was.
I thought that Jocko was pretty fun because he was so just like goofy.
But anyways, after that, let's go back to everybody getting ready, and Frieza shows up, and we have a montage of them fighting against the Frieza Force, which is just it's Krillin, Piccolo, Tien, Gohan, who else? Master Roshi. And I think that's
it,
right?
Yeah, that was a surprise. And then Jocko.
Master friggin' Roshi?
Oh, I said Master Roshi, didn't I?
Master freaking Roshi.
Yeah, Master Roshi, who goes into he goes into Hulk mode.
Yeah, maybe the biggest surprise of the movie was that Master Roshi got in there and fought.
It's total pandering. I mean, like, to give you an idea of how weak the Frieza Force is, friggin' Master Roshi, who hasn't been relevant in, like, how many episodes? Close to 500 episodes, like, gets in there and fights and does a pretty good job. I mean, he looks like a total stud.
Yeah.
He looks great for his age.
Yeah, he's got to be, like, 4,000 years old at this point.
Yeah. He was ancient when he was training young Goku and young Krillin. So at this point, he's running on pure fumes and horniness. So
aren't we all?
Oh, he's on TRT, man. He's juicing for sure. I mean, don't even think for a second that that's natural. Can I go back for like one quick second? Probably my favorite line of this whole movie is when Krillin is getting his head shaved to go fight, and Android 18's like, why don't I go instead? You know I'm way stronger than you. And he's like, no way, babe. You got to stay here and watch the kid. And she's like, and he zooms off, and she just goes, he's so cool. I just love that shit. It's so fucking good.
The least likely relationship is still going strong.
Android 18 is such a babe.
Yeah, she's a great character. You were talking about your favorite villains, and I was like, maybe the androids for me, because they were so mysterious and dangerous. Oh, that was really good.
They're very evil, too.
Yeah. Well, they were.
Okay. Well, the next thing that happens is that after defeating most of the Frieza Force, they are found to not be strong enough in order to fight against the actual Frieza. And so they increase their power by a lot in order to have Goku hone in on them and use instant transmission to jump back over to Earth in order to fight against Frieza. And then we have what you would expect inside of these movies, which is that they have power up and then more power up and then more power up and then go super and then Frieza goes gold. And if you're wondering, like, is this a normal Dragon Ball Z fight? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good, I would say. I mean, it's a movie, so they've got budget to play with, and they do fancy shit with it. My biggest gripe with the movie is the CG they utilize periodically.
Oh my god, I was going to say that too.
Yeah, I think this would be, I like I said, I watched the Broly movie when it was in theaters, and I don't remember them doing it. I think that that one, they do a good job of masking the CG, of course, because most, pretty much all anime these days is CG assisted. So even if it looks hand drawn the whole time, they probably used the computer to, you know, make it work in the way that it does. And that's fine. I think if you're able to utilize that to make more dynamic things that you might not otherwise be able to draw, that's cool. But here, they just occasionally replace the animated characters with CG animated characters that are like 3D models from a fighting game that have been smoothed out to look close enough to the animation style. And it is jarring. And they do it so that they can get some really cool fluid shots, but the CG quality is not good, and it definitely wasn't worth it, if you ask me.
Yeah, I was left wanting from this fight, honestly. It has a lot of that Dragon Ball Z thing where you're just like, it's cool, and the fact that it's just them powering up more and more. But I think the thing that was missed from this is that it never felt like it ever had any stakes. Like, there is, at the very end,
they undercut the stakes up, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, at every turn.
Yeah. Frieza blows up the planet Earth, and then Whis just reverses time and puts the Earth back together, and then Goku destroys Frieza, and everybody's just like, that's it, we're happily ever after. And it never felt like it ever had any stakes. Nobody ever, the whole movie felt like nobody was really in danger ever, and so it was just kind of like a fun time sandbox fight situation, which I've been told that's kind of what Super is, where it's just like, put a whole bunch of characters in a sandbox, make them fight against each other. If you had Dragon Ball Z, like, beat 'em up as one of your favorite things, Dragon Ball Super is going to be like your fucking jam. But as somebody who really, really wants stakes inside of my anime, it definitely doesn't have enough in order to get like me revved up for it. And I think honestly, that's basically the rest of the movie, but that's also like my take on the movie. I would probably give this one like a Dragon Ball Z C.
You say a C?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that the movie is like largely unnecessary as far as the story of the Dragon Ball universe goes. The Battle of the Gods movie introduced Beerus and brought and, you know, kind of kicked off Dragon Ball Super, and honestly, I feel the same way about the Broly movie as I do about this Frieza movie. Like, I didn't think that they really needed to have another Broly movie.
That wasn't even
a new story. That was like a restart for Broly.
Yeah, it's an alternate canon reboot, I think.
And you know, and honestly, I like this movie as I like most of the Dragon Ball movies. But I don't like what they do to Frieza. I don't like what they've been doing to Frieza in Dragon Ball Super. I don't think it's, you know, they're doing that thing where that you see in so many like RPG video games where you'll fight a boss, and then the bad guy becomes your friend, and then you start like, you know, and then they tag along. It's kind of like how, you know, the androids are good now and Boo is good now, and I'm not gonna say Frieza is good, but Frieza is so unbelievably evil that he doesn't really have a place as a good guy in the Dragon Ball universe. And what they do in this movie, in my opinion, is that they kind of turn him into comic relief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as a big Frieza fan, and when you're a little kid and you're like, honestly, I don't know how old you guys are, but when you're coming home from school and you're like 13 years old and you're watching Dragon Ball Z on Toonami, and you've been like waiting to see the Frieza fight for a whole fucking month because it takes forever to get through the Namek arc, and then when it happens, it takes another whole month to get through the Frieza fight, and Frieza's just like this epic villain in your childhood. And so, like, for me, I don't really like seeing Frieza kind of toyed with, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you didn't want to see him go out like that, like a punk.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think you've used the term fan service here, which usually when we speak about is generally unwanted over-sexualization of characters. This is the other kind of fan service, which is where you throw in something unnecessarily and potentially unjustifiably just because the fans will be excited to see it. So this is the reason that the Dragon Balls were being found by the three characters that are the original villains, because that doesn't matter at all, but they just happen to be doing it because that's fun. And then Master Roshi shows up because that's fun. And honestly, right. Frieza shows up because that's fun. And that's the whole purpose of this movie. And I'm going to side pretty strongly with both of you that I think this is a fairly underwhelming movie overall. I've seen a couple of Dragon Ball movies, and I think that Dragon Ball as a series has the general consensus that people say that it is maybe more so than a lot of other series, fights strung together through the loosest of plots. And I have been revisiting Dragon Ball recently. I've been reading some of the manga in the and gotten up into the Frieza series, the original Frieza arc on Namek. And I've been rewatching the anime, and the anime is interminably slow paced, but it is pretty charming and pretty fun. And the manga is fantastic. What it lacks in like complex storytelling, it more than makes up for in Akira Toriyama being just a master of the craft. And Dragon Ball as a series, I think, gets a lot of wind at its back from that. And, you know, and from the fact that it was so much more novel at the time that it was coming out than it would be to somebody today. I think that for me, as somebody who has nostalgia for the series, but not necessarily for these parts of the series, I watched. So what I did was I watched the trailer and then I chose to buy the movie instead of rent it, because I thought the trailer was so good that I was going to enjoy it more than I did. And I also enjoyed the Broly movie more than I expected to and have been wanting to rewatch it. And so I paid $15 to buy it instead of $4 to rent it, and I regret spending the extra $11 on this because I
on Amazon.
I would be happy not to watch it again, actually, because I thought it was that underwhelming. I think the CG really, really kneecaps it in some critical moments, like including in the fight between between Frieza and Goku. Sometimes suddenly they are 3D models and it's just not masked quite well enough. And so it just takes you out of it. But also the thing about the stakes is that Frieza, before he comes back to Earth, they are like, hey, you've been dead for like a while and they've gotten way stronger. So I don't even know that you should fight them really. And Frieza's like, well, okay, here's the thing. I'm so fucking strong that I've actually never had to try before. And if I try, then I will get that much stronger. And you know, if you think about how strong I am without ever trying, just imagine what I am after I try.
Right.
And so he does 4 months of trying to get stronger, and then he is. And he puts up a fight against Goku. But early on in the fight, Goku is beating the shit out of him. And then Frieza does a transformation and starts holding his own, but still not winning. Frieza never has the upper hand in this fight at all. And then near the end of the fight, they're like, oh, like Goku and Vegeta are just sort of like casually bantering about the fight. And also it's hilarious. Vegeta wants to fight the whole time and then they don't let him, which is a bummer, but also funny. And
he's such a little brat.
Yeah. And they're just like, oh, his weakness is that he got this new form and came here right after getting the form. And so it burns up too much of his energy and he's just not used to it. So even though it lets him hold his own against me, there's a time limit on this and we can just wait him out. And it's just like they are casual about it the whole time. It is a fun spar for them that never has stakes. And the only moment it gets stakes is when Frieza blows up the planet. And that only has stakes. In that moment, I was like, oh, this is why they said that thing about turning back time earlier so that we would have an out here. But they do a good... I actually thought they saved it a little bit there, which is that Whis, early in the movie, says that one of Goku's weaknesses is that he's too trusting and it keeps his guard down. And in this moment, they use that to illustrate that, like, he should not have treated Frieza so casually, because Frieza is the kind of person who might do something underhanded, like blow up the planet for a Pyrrhic victory.
Sure.
And I liked that. But I think overall, they reinforce over and over again that Frieza is not going to win this fight. And it never feels like he has the upper hand in the fight in any meaningful way. And it makes it just sort of like the kind of thing where you're like, okay, how much more time do they have on this?
Yeah, I think it's accurate to say that the fight was never really in question. I think that, to your point, I think viewers probably think to themselves, well, you know, you got killed by, you know, future Trunks chopped you into little pieces back when the power levels were in the single millions. Yeah. And, you know, and I think that now, I don't know, I'm not an aficionado in all the power levels, but I would say that Goku's power level is probably over a billion at this point. And Frieza, you have no fucking chance. And so, you know, it's not really in question at any point, and especially considering the fact that Goku is handling Frieza okay, like, I'd say equally for the most part, and Vegeta hasn't even fought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even if things go bad.
And Gohan hasn't gotten angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gohan hasn't been angry yet. And, you know, and Master Roshi, he's still got two vials of TRT in his pocket. And,
you know, they have like a full half bag of senzu beans left too. Like,
well, they actually used all of those, I think, but they could probably go back and get some while they held off Frieza, because it's not that hard, apparently. Yeah, I think one of the things that we've actually been saying a lot. So one distinction I wanted to draw is that there's a difference between assuming that the heroes will win because they are the heroes, and never feeling like the villain has a chance. And I think that's a pitfall that this movie falls into, which is that, you know, it's basically a foregone conclusion that Frieza will be defeated one way or the other before you start watching this movie, because the point isn't that this is the end of the series and the villains win. The point is that it's a fun Dragon Ball movie, and so the heroes will inevitably win. Just like, you know, 98% of all films, the protagonist is going to come out on top in some way. But the tension comes from, you know, creating the stakes of their scenario. And where this film, I think, takes itself off at the knees is that it routinely reminds you that those stakes don't exist. And it makes sure that you're aware that they are not losing, and they were never under the impression that they were losing, and they were correct about that. And so it's like, instead of understanding intrinsically that they will come out of it on top, but being like, I don't know how they're going to pull this off because Frieza seems really strong, you're just like, nah, they're fine. They're going to win. And it's just sort of a matter of, you know, after a few minutes, you're like, this is really just an endurance game.
And you know, you keep mentioning stakes, and a lot of the Dragon Ball movies don't have stakes, you know, and a lot of them are a very thin plot line followed by 45 minutes of fighting. But, you know, I have said this routinely in my life, and I will continue to say it. I think that the best thing that Dragon Ball ever produced was the Future Trunks OVA. And I don't know if you guys have seen that, but that's basically the OVA where, at the start of it, virtually everybody except Gohan and Trunks are dead already, mm-hmm. because the androids have killed them already.
Yeah.
And that movie has such a wild sense of desperation in it, and is more of like a theatrical sort of, like, it actually has like the plot line that you'd expect from a real movie. And that movie has a hell of a lot of stakes. I mean, it's at the point where the Dragon Ball universe will end if Trunks dies in this fight. You know, it's like over. Mm. And, you know, and they're literally fleeing back into the past to try to, you know, fix things. And so stakes do make a big difference. And although I will add that, like, I don't really think either of the other two Dragon Ball movies really didn't have stakes either. Are these two recent ones? The Broly one definitely didn't.
See, I felt like one had better stakes because Broly felt like something that they weren't. It felt like Broly had the upper hand, I think is the shortest way to say it. Frieza never had the upper hand in this fight. Not against Goku. And the only time he gained it was through an underhanded thing that they immediately subverted, which also they had recently said they only had one Senzu bean. And I was like, well, that's going to be used on Goku at some point. And then they shot him and I was like, okay, well, here we go.
That's so cheap.
So it's just, it's just like, I think that was the big thing that allowed me to enjoy that one more, where it was like, Broly feels like a threat that they have to deal with. And Frieza feels like a goofy old high school person that has a grudge against you that you thought sort of vaguely fondly of, who showed up to spit shit at you. And you're just like, nah, you're nuts. We were in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Frieza's that 80s villain that's on the ski mountain. That's just like, you can't ski better than me. And then they're just like, I skied better than you all day. And then Frieza's just like, ugh. And then there's like a sick guitar riff. Well, with all that being said, this has been the Dragon Ball Z Frieza movie, Resurrection F, with our wonderful guest. Can you remind us again, if people want to check out more of your stuff, where they can find you?
Listen, you really should check me out, because I work really hard and I'm totally desperate for audience. So, I just love anime and I've been talking about it for a long time. And, you know, again, I'm really happy that you guys had me on, because, you know, I love shonen is one of my favorite genres, and Dragon Ball in that genre is probably my favorite, just because it's, you know, it's pivotal to like my childhood pretty much. But if you want to check out me and more of me and my co-hosts, you can do it over at where we are, the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, and we're over at aaapodcast.com. We have a pretty thriving Discord channel, so if you want to join the Discord, I think that there's a pretty large community of people on there that are, you know, largely we've been blessed with a very small amount of trolling on there, so we have mostly a pretty friendly community that are just waiting to talk to you. So if you want to join a Discord, you can head over to our website. I'll say it again, it's aaapodcast.com. There's a button on the top, it says Discord, and you know, we're happy to have people in our community. So of course I'm happy that we could have you on our podcast, and you know, and again, I'm really thrilled to have been able to join you guys tonight, so I appreciate it and thank you very much.
Yeah we're slowly creating our own anime podcast universe.
Yeah.
We're going to put things in canon now.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Yeah, we're going to make like a, what is it? The anime podcast cinematic universe.
Yeah.
We're going to make a movie.
Somebody's going to have to pull up the Kevin Feige mantle.
I'm really glad, even though I think we were all less than enthused about the end result of this movie, I'm really glad we watched it and got to talk about it together. I really enjoyed that. So I'm glad that.
And the reason why I wanted to talk about this movie was because that new movie's coming out next year. Mm. So they're making another one.
Well, you know, Broly was actually a pretty big surprise hit in theaters, including here in America. So do you think they're going to try and go for that again?
Another Broly?
No, just another, you know, attempt at cinematic success. You know, usually these movies don't get releases here in America. So I don't know. I could see it going either way. I'm not sure what they're going to do.
I think we'll get it here in theaters. I just wonder what they're going to do with it, because, you know, the androids are good. Boo is good.
Yeah.
You know, Frieza is helping in Dragon Ball Super. Broly's not a villain anymore, and pretty much you're left with Cell. So, you know, I don't know.
Recell.
You know, I'm not sure if that's where we're headed.
Resurrection C.
I mean, I think that feels probably more likely than a new villain.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you then when that happens. we'll have you back on. But again, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, guys.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions and presented as part of the Geekly Grind podcast network.
Sound editing is done by Rashad English. He's our level 13 sound wizard.
13? Did he jump even more levels?
He gained a lot of experience by defeating the Dark Lord of Smooth Jazz.
Do you mean Chuck Mangione from King of the Hill?
Rashad is the King of the Hill now.
Damn it, Bobby.
Anyway, our podcast is ad-free, and if you want to keep it that way, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandSGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/GetJumped.
Also, we have a Discord server. You can find the links to that on all of our social media platforms.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New review episodes come out every Monday, and new rewatch episodes appear every Friday.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Snow, owner and editor-in-chief of The Geekly Grind. We interrupt your awesome, regularly scheduled programming to ensure you're aware of the Geekly Grind podcast network, of which this show is a treasured member of. If you haven't had a chance to check out our site, you can do so at thegeeklygrind.com, and while you're there, take a look at the other members of our steadily growing podcast family, including the anime-centric Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, discovering new heroes on Comic Book Keepers with Chris and Lance, exploring the vast universe of geekdom with Geeksploration, or appreciating animation's finer details with JD's Ink and Paint Club. Escape your weekly grind at The Geekly Grind.